Let me begin by asking this question, just a rhetorical question. I'm not looking for anyone to speak out, but the question is this: what do you think of when you think of Thanksgiving? Eating, football, maybe a long weekend, shopping. You pray for me. I've got to be out of my mind. I'm going with Carly and Nate to Manhattan on Black Friday to go shopping. I've lost my mind. I did that once before. I said, I'll never do that again. Yep. It'll be Nate's first time in New York City. So we're looking forward to a great time Friday. But what do you think of when you think of Thanksgiving? Do you think of American history? Do you think of family? Do you think of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? What do you think of when you think of Thanksgiving? Well, the truth is, Thanksgiving is more than any of these things. True Thanksgiving is not just a day for food or football and family. And it's not just a holiday that comes up every fourth Thursday in November. For God's people, every day ought to be a Thanksgiving day. Every day. Now, having said that, I have to tell you that I think that Thanksgiving is probably my favorite holiday of the year. To me, Thanksgiving is a very distinctive holiday because it doesn't commemorate a battle or a war. It doesn't commemorate anyone's birthday. It's simply a day set aside to express our thanks to God. Now, our very first official national day of Thanksgiving was held in 1789 when President George Washington made a public proclamation saying this: "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." He then recommended and assigned Thursday, the 26th day of November, 1789, to be a day of Thanksgiving. That was our very first official, nationally recognized day of Thanksgiving. Now, of course, we know that there were Thanksgivings before that, right? Most of us know the story of the Pilgrims and how they and the Indians of the area had a Thanksgiving feast in 1621. Governor William Bradford declared that a day of Thanksgiving there in the Massachusetts colony. But even long before Washington and long before the Pilgrims, people were giving thanks. We find people certainly giving thanks all the way back in the Old Testament, where we find songs of thanksgiving. And Psalm 100 is an example of that. It is an example of a song of thanksgiving. It's an invitation to join together to acknowledge the great things that God has done. And not only does Psalm 100 call us to praise the Lord with thankfulness, but it also describes to us the nature of thanksgiving. So let's go ahead and read Psalm 100 before we go any further here. Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Now, in this particular psalm, I believe there are five key principles that describe the essence of thanksgiving. Now, the first one is joy. Joy. Notice verse 1 again. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, it's interesting to me that we don't have any problem shouting and getting excited and being enthusiastic at a football game, but we very seldom raise our voice when we get into church. I remember, a number of years ago now, when I shook some folks up here in church one Sunday morning. You might remember it. We had the Teen Challenge Men's Choir singing for us. And it just seemed like that morning the Spirit of God was just extremely powerful in the service. And I got moved in that morning service. And I stood up and I was sitting right about where Tom and Karen are sitting. And in the middle of one of the songs, you folks were all paying attention, I stood up and went, "Glory!" And I don't know, I just got a case of the can't help it's that morning. And I get that every now and then. I get a case of the can't help it, you know. Just got excited about what the Lord was doing. Just hollered out in the middle of the service. And you have to understand, though, that I come from that kind of a background where we do that in church, in the church that I grew up in. Nobody would think anything of it there. It was just normal experience in church. But you know, I just got so excited because, you know, when we consider who God is and what he does, it ought to bring joy to our hearts. And that joy should just come bubbling out of our hearts. Our lives are meant to be a joyful call to God. God wants us to get excited about who he is. Just this past week, I went online and I watched, as I've watched a number of times, the film clip of the victory celebration in New York City when World War II ended. That celebration was an absolute shout of joy. The war was over. The victory had been won, and people were excited about that. Well, guess what? We too need to shout praises to God, because guess what? I have read the end of the book, and I know who wins the war. I know who has the victory. Praise be to God on high. We need to shout and joyfully be exuberant because God is great. He's won the victory. We need to be filled with joy and just let that joy come pouring out of us. Now, I understand that not everybody has the same personality that I do, and not everybody can shout, and that's okay. If you want, point at me. I'll do it for you if you need me to, okay? But you know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 98, verse 4, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So when we look at this particular psalm and its teaching on thanksgiving, we learn that it involves joy. And let me tell you this, if anybody on the face of this earth has a right to be joyful, it's you and I as Christians, because we've been lifted out of the miry clay of sin. We've had our feet set on a solid rock. We are now children of God, and hallelujah, we're on our way to heaven, and that ought to get the joy just pouring out of our hearts. I have to tell you something this morning. I'm excited, and the joy bells are just ringing away in my heart this morning as I'm thinking about what a great God I serve. And so the first thing that comes up here in this passage is joy. When we think about thanksgiving, it's teaching us about joy. Now the second thing, and this just goes right along with it, isn't that interesting? Gladness. Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. come before his presence with thanksgiving. Folks, let me tell you this, in case you don't know it, I hope that you do, but in case you don't, there's a huge difference between gladness and sadness. There's a big difference between the two. And when we come to the Lord, we're to do it with gladness, not sadness. You know, there are times when people come to church on Sunday morning to worship, and it's almost like they're coming to a funeral service. But really, that's not the way it should be. We need to come in here on Sunday morning like we're coming to a resurrection service. Because that's the reason we meet on Sunday morning, because the Lord was raised from the dead the first day of the week. It's the very reason why we meet. Our Lord has risen from the dead, and we need to celebrate that fact. Just think about this doctrine of the resurrection. Think about it this way. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. No matter whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives! He lives! Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. That's a joyful thought. That's something to be glad about. If you don't have anything else to be glad about, be glad that you serve a risen Savior. And so when we come before the Lord in thanksgiving, we ought to do it with joy. We ought to do it with gladness. And then the third principle that comes up in this passage of Scripture, and it's not specifically named here, but the principle is here, and that is dependence. Dependence. We come to thanks to God dependent upon him. Look at verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, this verse shows three roles of God. First, God is Lord, and we are submit to him as the master, ruler, king, and boss of our lives. We must realize that God is God and we are not. God is God and we are not. Do you remember when Moses spoke to God before he went to deliver the children of Israel? Moses spoke to God and asked him what to say to the children of Israel when they say, "What is the name of God?" And God told Moses to say this: "This is my name." He said, "I am that I am." Exodus 3:14. That is, he is the eternally existing one, the almighty Lord of all, who does as he pleases. God is God, and we are not. He is Lord. Now, the second role for God in this verse is that of creator. Creator. Now, if you create something, you are greater than what you have created. You have every right over that which you have made. And so we read there, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. He is the creator, and he is above, far above his creation. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 9, it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, saith the Lord." He is above. He's the creator, and he is far above his creation. And then the third role of God that's mentioned here is shepherd. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God guides us to the place of security and plenty and rest. Of course, that's what David also tells us in Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Someone has rightfully said, if we are created, he is the creator. If we are sheep, he is our shepherd. If we enter his courts, he is our king. If we serve him, he is our master. And because he is creator and shepherd and king and master, we are totally dependent upon him. Think about it. He created even the air that we breathe, and he knows every breath we take. He knows every hair on our head. Now, if you were here when I first came to Pasco almost 25 years ago, you realize that if you've seen a picture of me back then and a picture now, that when it comes to counting the hairs on my head, it has now become an experience in subtraction and not addition anymore. You know that. And I look back at the one of the very first church directories we did when I was first here, where we took all the church families and put pictures. The day we had our picture taken was the day we brought Carly home from the hospital. So that was quite a while ago now. And you know what I noticed looking at those pictures? That there's a lot of guys in our church who are experiencing the same thing I'm experiencing with with that particular problem. But he knows every hair on our head. He knows every beat of our heart. And by the way, he's the one who keeps it beating. He's the one who keeps it beating. So I'm thankful to him for being God. We are dependent on him for everything. Now, the fourth principle is, of course, the theme that we've been talking about here, and that is thankfulness. Thankfulness. You can't give thanks unless you are thankful. Look what it says here in verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. You see, thanksgiving is what flows from a thankful heart. Now, put a marker here in Psalm 100, or keep your finger here or something. I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 17 for a moment. And we're going to begin reading in verse 11 of Luke chapter 17. Read this little story. Now, let me tell you, this is a favorite passage of mine. The very, very first time I ever stood in a pulpit to preach the Word of God, I preached on this passage of Scripture. My very, very first time ever preaching in church, I preached on this passage of Scripture. Verse 11, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so here in Luke chapter 17, we have this very interesting story where Jesus enters into this village. And upon entering, he finds these 10 men that were lepers. They were standing way off, and as lepers were supposed to do. But instead of hollering out, unclean, unclean, like they were supposed to be doing, these guys hollered out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, what's interesting here is that when Jesus said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest, they had not been cleansed yet. They left before they were cured. Because the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. And did you notice what happened then? One of them, and only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned around and went back to see Jesus. And as we read, the Bible says he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, glorified God, thanked Jesus for what he had done. Only one out of 10 was thankful to Jesus. Now, why did he do that? Why did this man turn around and go back to Jesus to thank him? It's because he had a thankful heart. You see, thanksgiving is what flows out of a thankful heart. And we too need to be thankful to God for what he has done for us. And so as we, and this is an important lesson as well to us, this is vital that we be a thankful person. We do not want to be taking the blessings of God for granted in our lives. We want to be thankful. And so we've seen in this this passage of Scripture so far, the four principles: joy, gladness, dependence, thankfulness. And then we'll finish up number five, and that is, and this goes along with the previous one, that is gratitude. Look at, go back to Psalm 100, look at verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Three reasons to be grateful. One, the Lord is good. There's a reason to be grateful. Two, the Lord's mercy is everlasting. And three, the Lord's truth endures forever. His goodness is seen in the way he provides for our needs. His mercy is seen in that he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to an old rugged cross to die for our sins so we could be forgiven and have eternal life. And then the eternality of his truth is seen in the way he has preserved and protected his word for us down through the ages so that this morning we can hold in our hands the very word of God. His truth endures forever. David said in Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Three reasons to be grateful. The Lord is good. The Lord's mercy is everlasting, and the Lord's truth endures forever. Now, turn with me to the book of Romans for a moment. We'll be finishing up here in just a minute. Romans chapter 11, please. Romans chapter 11, look verse 36, the very last verse of the chapter, Romans chapter 11. It says, for of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Here in Romans chapter 11, Paul is giving praise and thanks to God for who he is and what he does. And basically what he's telling us is this: everything comes from God. Everything happens through God. Everything ends up in God. And he is to always be glorified, and he is to always be praised. Amen. Amen. Our praise, our thanksgiving, and our worship needs to be directed to God. We need to be thankful for what he has done. Now, back to Psalm 100, and we'll be done. What I want to do is this. I want you to notice something special in Psalm 100. I want you to notice in five short verses how many times God is mentioned or referred to. Ready? So I'm going to emphasize these as we go through Psalm 100. You'll see in just a few short verses how many times he's mentioned. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And so this Thanksgiving, with all the preparations and events and excitement, my prayer is that God would be thanked with joy and gladness, with thankfulness and gratitude, and with a heart that recognizes that we are totally dependent upon him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for the opportunity to look into the scriptures and